Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, everybody, I'm Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church. We have good singing here. We have some good testimonies, and we have some really good teaching from Pastor Russ.
And just so we can get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you say worship, what's the first thing that hits your head?
Just kind of being quiet before the Lord, or working with the Lord, or partnering with the Lord. It's all life with Christ.
Yeah. In a church setting, they say, well, in the worship, it's we worship. Need to.
Yeah.
They Everybody talk about
stand
the singing.
In worship. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to worship than that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited because I've got some categories of worship I think we're going to have fun mm-hmm. to explore.
Yeah. I think we need to be more explicit with, okay, like if a child's watching in church, sure. we're going to worship in song. Well, now we're going to worship when we feed the horse. Now we're going to worship when we love your mom.
There you go.
We love your dad.
Even out of church is the part that I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about too.
Well, we're not going to give it all away. We are going to Cowboy Church. I'm going to sing a little bit, and then Pastor Russ is going to speak. So sit back, relax, and let's go to Cowboy Church.
She was truly my best friend. Amen. Amen.
When you're down and lonely, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right, just keep your head together and call my name out loud. Oh, and soon I will be knocking on your door. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will, to see you. Take your soul. mentioned all that.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall.
Give him a hug.
So I want you to listen to this song, and I don't know what cycle you're in and what age bracket you're in, but whatever you do in your life, live it to the fullest and let God be your Lord and consult Him in everything that you do.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. His voice is her alarm. She rocks him as she feeds him, cradled in her arms. She says, I never dreamed that I would love someone so deeply, as she whispers in her arms. She whispers deeply. She says, I will always, always hold you close. You will be with me wherever I go. I can't believe the angel sent you straight from my fence to hold you close to my heart. This is the moment she's prayed for and dreaded at the same time. He'll take the hand of another for the rest of his life. And as she pins on his boutonniere, a tear rolls down her face. She wipes it away, says, I'll be okay. And as they embrace, she says, I will always, always hold you close. You will be with me wherever I go. Sent her straight from God's hands to your arms, and I will always, always hold you close to my heart. The years slowly recede, and time takes its toll. But true love never ends. And as he lifts her off to sleep, he whispers sweetly. He says, I will always, always hold you close. You will be with me wherever I go. Hold you. my heart.
Wherever you are in that cycle of love, always hold them close.
Well, today I'm going to be talking to you from John chapter 4. And I love John chapter 4 because there's a couple of things about it that humanize Jesus in the right way. And it's the time when he goes to, they're on the journey, and and he tells them, he goes, "I must needs go through Samaria." And those of you who have listened for a long time understand that it's a place where nobody likes the people there. They are half-breeds, and they have suffered much of racial prejudice, and some difficult things had gone on in their life, and Jesus went to that place on purpose and sat at the well while the disciples went to buy food so they'd have something to eat. And what he was looking for is an encounter with a woman at the well. And there at the well, she comes by to draw water at not the regular time. She's disenfranchised with life. She's been separated from the community, and she meets Jesus at the well. And there's a long dialogue. It starts at the very beginning of chapter 4, but I'm going to move to the 23rd verse because this is deep into the dialogue that her and Jesus are having. And chapter 4, verse 23 says this, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And with that, we're going to pray. The title of the message today is Worship. What is it? Our Heavenly Father, thank you today. Lord, I pray today that you would minister to the hearts of people. Lord, help us to understand what worship is. Lord, by the time we finish this message, I pray, God, that you would help the people that are listening to have a clear understanding of what worship is and how to apply that function to our lives. And may you be the object of our worship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's talking to this woman at the well. And what I like about it is this scene is racially charged, and Jesus steps past that. The woman has identified that Jews should never talk with a woman who's not a Jew because that's unethical. And Jesus has moved past that, not for any other reasons, but for her eternal salvation. And there's just an awkwardness to the whole thing. And Jesus actually makes it more awkward. He goes right to the heart of who she is, and he's identified her. He said, "No, you're not married. The guy you're living with now is not your husband." And he identified three other husbands that she had been with, and she was an outcast, and she was an outcast in her own people. And now a Jewish person was telling her that she's an outcast. He wasn't telling her that for the purpose of destroying her. He's telling her that for the purpose of helping her to understand what worship is. And guys, when we begin to understand what worship is, see, the problem with difficulties with people, when they have difficulties, they begin to analyze, and a whole lot of self becomes a part of that analyzing. And oftentimes, we get focused on self, and we get protective of ourselves because we've been hurt, or we get to to making opinions to where we are on the throne of our own life, where all of life is about me. It's egocentric. It's about the guy that I have to deal with every day. Because I do such a bad job of it, I don't want to deal with anybody else, which is even more difficult. And God's trying to step past all of the flim-flam. And he's speaking to her because he understands that this woman has nothing else to live for. I, one of the gals that works in our church here, she's worked with foster kids for a long, long time. And in her work with foster kids, one of the reasons that foster kids have so much trouble is because they get to a point where the only thing left is them and self-preservation. And that's where this woman is. She's been denied, kicked out, destroyed, and now she's living with a man and she's viewed as a seamy part of society. The rest of the women don't want to be around her. They'd rather talk about her. All of the things that go with that. And Jesus is moving past that, and he wants her to understand this aspect of worship. Well, why would this woman, who's obviously living in sin, who's obviously been a wild and crazy woman of the world, who has a bad reputation, why would God approach her with worship? Why would he hit right off? He says, God expects you to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it just makes me want to try to understand, to kind of dive into what's going on and see and begin to understand what is so real about that and how so many people can be touched positively for the kingdom of God because of the time that Jesus spent with that woman. And he didn't do it just so everybody could see him doing that. He spent time with that woman so that woman could come in contact with a Savior that is bent on salvation of the world. And so that she would understand what the values of life are, so that she would understand what all of life is based around and how worship will make that life work. And I want us at the end of this message to have an idea of what worship is. And there's more to it than what I can cover today, but I'm going to bump you with just a couple of things, just four items of worship, four items that explain worship very, very well. The first one, and I think everybody, if you don't get these right, and sometimes in the right sequence, sometimes we mess it up. But the most important aspect of worship has to do with priorities. Priorities. So the question is, what's your priorities? Well, I can tell you what your priorities are. Tell me what you've did all day today. I can tell you what your priorities are. What have you done all this week? What do you spend your most time with? What's the most important thing to you is the thing you always drive you back into things. And the Bible says that in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And everybody's always wondering about what all these things are. It doesn't matter. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it's 1A, 1B. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these, what it's saying is everything else will be put into the order that God has for you if you keep your priorities straight. And if God is the key of your priorities, that's worship. Think about it. The thing that you do consistently over and over and over and over again. And I heard some of our crew that's, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but I heard some of our crew talking this week. and I'm going to be real nice because they're the ones running the cameras. But I heard him talking this week about guys with talent and what drives them. And they mentioned Magic Johnson. They mentioned some of these guitar players and some of these great musicians. And the thing that drives them and makes them, it's based on talent, but talent alone can't take you to the place you need to be. It's that drive that gets them there. And if we're not careful as people, what happens is we let the things that interest us, the things that drive us, the things that push us, the things that they become the object because of priorities, they become what we worship. Now, I've always been around cowboys. My whole life I've been around cowboys. I love them. I feel like it's family. But I'm going to tell you, I know people in the cowboy world that worship team roping. The reason I know that is they will drive 1,000 miles to get to one roping. They'll drive another 500 miles to get to the next roping. They'll drive 600 miles to get to the next roping. They'll drive right past the church and won't stop so they can get to the next roping. And what that says is their priorities are not what they should be. Russell, you being legalistic? No, I'm just being real. The Bible says that if we're going to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit. That means in spirit, our connection with God, our spirit man, has to be the most important priority in our existence. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what is truth? Truth is what is based on this Word of God that we read every day. When's the last time you opened up the Bible to seek God's advice on what you're doing? When's the last time you did that? Huh? I'm not saying this to be ugly, but I am saying it in a self-evaluation form. If you're not opening up the Word of God and asking God for His direction first as a priority in your life, then you're not involved in worship. Worship has to do with our priorities. Some people say time. But man, time is kind of a different kind of thing. You know, sometimes you have to work 8 hours a day and there's not enough time in the day to spend 8 hours seeking God. But in your priorities, before I go to work, I'm going to spend time with God. Before I do anything else, and I say this, it's what I should do. And most of the time, I do.
Well, hopefully something that we have said today will minister to you in your life. See, Christianity is not just Sunday morning. It's every day of the week. It's every minute of the day. Come join us next week. We're going to be in part two of worship. What is it? And we hope to enlighten you even more with the next sermon. Yeah, all your information's on the screen. Please, please join us. Please contact us and please support us. We want to be here for you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.